Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Confession of Peter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
The Christian faith teaches us that on this day, a child was born so that we might have eternal life.
From the moment of conception, you've got a human being, and that human being deserves legal protection. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the United States at the present time, and this is just damnable.
There's a kind of a Mary and a Martha story happening with us. And Advent puts us where Jesus says the good part is.
Glass and cloth, wood and stone will cry out to the next generation. This is what we have believed. This is Christ, our Savior, and yours.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
I remember my reaction. It was not even a week ago. And I was sitting right where I'm sitting right now. I have to remember it was a Friday morning, if I'm not mistaken, and sitting there as I usually do, going through the material on the internet. We're thinking about prepping for a show, and then the story that has occupied our minds for the last week flashed up there. And at first, the facts were few and far between. Of course, the story's changed several times, but the general gist of the thing was correct from the very beginning. Massive shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, and the victims, largely children, with some adults there as well. And my reaction was visceral. We didn't talk about it here in the studio. We did not talk about it because two of us are fathers, one of us a father of small children. And even if you don't have kids, you have the same visceral reaction to this. You know that this is wrong, and wrong on such a scale that it's hard to even describe how wrong it is. And everybody acknowledges this. Everyone does. Even our president, a few days later, we're saying, just almost at a loss for words, this must change, he said. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to get some pastoral reflection on the Newtown, Connecticut shooting. Pastor Charles St. Ange will be our guest for a few minutes, and then we're going to be talking about Katie von Bora Luther. That would be the wife of the 16th century reformer, Martin Luther. There's so much. She's a fascinating woman. An absolutely fascinating woman. You'll find out why a little bit later here on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Pastor Charles St. Ange is Associate Pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's author of a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled, A Connecticut Shooting in Satan's Court. Charles, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's good to be back.
You just kind
Happy Advent to you all.
Oh, and to you as well. You kind of just lay it out in its starkest terms when you wrote about this. You said that if someone holds a naturalist, that is, for lack of a better word, an evolutionary viewpoint of the world, that worldview, they really have no good reason to consider what happened last week in Newtown, Connecticut as out of the ordinary or even wrong. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm going to step back just for a quick second, and then we're going to step out. I'm a dad too. I have a 5-year-old, and 8-year-old girl. They're both in elementary school, and certainly when they came home that day, I did what any good dad does, which is I got down and I thanked the Lord that they came home safe. And I think whether you are a Christian or you hold some other, you know, theological persuasion, some other religious view, or a non-religious view, your gut, passionate, personal reaction is horror at what happened in Connecticut, and thankfulness that your kids, if you have them, are okay. But that's very personal, and I do think it is the responsibility of pastors and theologians to, after we feel those very intense emotions, to step back and provide, for lack of a better term, cosmic perspective on what are we going through? What does all this mean? Why are we so upset? Now, as a Christian, if I'm reflecting on that, my immediate gut reaction is this is a sign and symbol of the fall and all of its horror. The fall of the angels, the demons and Satan, the fall of humanity, of Adam and Eve, and that we are caught in this world which is horrendously evil. And the scriptures back that up. I mean, that's the message of the scriptures from Genesis chapter 3 on, is that the world is degenerated into horrendous evil where things like this happen, but yet our God says they ought not to happen. And because God is infinite and God is above all things, his ought stands. Now, if you're a naturalist and you don't believe in a final God or a final law that is above all things and that cannot be changed or moved, then everything is relative to something. And so while on a personal level you may feel horror at what happened in Connecticut at that school, on a cosmic level, that's life. You know, at the end of the day, if you step back finally from the personal emotions and look from a cosmic level, life is an accident. The universe is an accident. There's no purpose to the universe. There's no purpose to life. We're here. We don't know why. Some atoms happen to collide just the right way. And lo and behold, there are children that are born of human beings on a planet, and those children die. They always have. They always will. So that's life. And so that's why I wrote the article, because I have heard people from every spectrum of life, no matter what their beliefs, all calling what happened at the school terrible. And yet I wanted to provide some cosmic perspective and say, on what level is it terrible? Why are you saying that this thing ought not to have happened? You know, are you just, if you feel bad about it, or is there a good reason for your feeling that it shouldn't have happened?
Now, one of the things that you, I guess for lack of a better word, a foil that you use for your pastoral reflections, that cosmic perspective, are a few statements that the president made shortly afterwards at a prayer vigil. And not to question the president's sentiment or sincerity, because there's no doubt that he was as deeply moved and troubled by this event as anyone by it. But he said these things, and I want you to, if you would, kind of take this apart and ask the deeper questions. He said, "We can't tolerate this anymore. These tragedies must end." This is strong language for our president. "And to end them, we must change." What are your pastoral thoughts there?
Well, whenever you use words, first of all, like must, you are invoking an imperative. I mean, it's an imperative. It's something that has to happen. And immediately when I hear something like that, I ask the cosmic question, what's the standard against which you are saying that something must change? Because to say it must change means that the way things are right now is definitively wrong, but there is a way that things should definitively be to which we need to move. Now, on what basis? Now, I'm a pastor, and I engage in dialogue with people through the Houston Chronicle blog here in the city of Houston who are not Christian or who have left the church for whatever reason. And, you know, we often get into debates over, you know, Christianity and different religions and how can you believe that there's a God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I'll use scripture and certainly reason to try to reason with people. And I have found that the one line of argumentation that really seems to stop people in their tracks is the moral argument. People want to be able to say something must be different. We must act in a different way. And I keep pushing it back on them. Why? Why can you tell me that I have to be different? You may feel that things should be different, but that's just your opinion. What makes your must more than an opinion? And that's basically the question I was asking of the president, and people listening to those statements. What is he appealing to that's outside of everyone to which he can say all of us must conform to this? And like you said, I am not arguing really with the president. All I'm doing is saying we make these statements and often don't think about them. And so what I went on to argue in the blog is as a Christian, I can appeal to an ultimate law. But if I'm an evolutionist, it's difficult for me to do that. The same thing with the word tragedy. I think that abortion is a horrendous tragedy. I think, as a Christian, it must be stopped. But if I were to say that, make that same statement out in the public square, I don't think it would be received very well. We know it's not received very well. How dare I tell people that they should change their behavior? And so basically what I sort of did is turn it back around in the present. What gives you the daring to tell us that we must change? And I would say that if you are in line with our founding fathers, or even theists who believe that there is a natural law that's outside of all of us, then you can appeal to that and say we've been endowed by a creator with certain rights or responsibilities, or that certain actions are required of us, and it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, that's what's required. But if you don't have that, where does the must come from? Just because you have power? Not good enough.
Pastor Charles St. Ange is our guest. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with him talking about some pastoral reflection on the Newtown, Connecticut shooting. It's Thursday, December the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. When we come back, now, not to diminish in any way whatsoever the scope and the depth of the sorrow and the tragedy and the wrong in Newtown, Connecticut, but it was, well, in this fallen world, and I hate to say it this way, but it's quite true, not to diminish the tragedy, it was just another day in a fallen world. And it was one that might have made us aware of the nature of that fall more keenly, more memorably than other days. But it was just another day. Now, people say, on picking up on the issue of change, they say, well, how do we prevent it? What do we do? How do we change if the president says this must change and everyone agrees, yes, it must? How do we do that? You know, there is only really one final answer to that, and we'll find out what that is right after this. Are you looking for Christ-centered, cross-focused Christmas gifts for your young children, grandchildren, or godchildren? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book titled O Holy Night. This children's resource costs less than $2, plus shipping and handling. O Holy Night is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Holy Night, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc. This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Charles St. Ange is our guest. We're talking with him, some pastoral reflections on the Newtown, Connecticut shooting. A few more minutes with him, then we'll be talking Katie von Bora Luther. That would be the 16th century reformer Martin Luther's wife, a fascinating study that we'll do on this day when we remember her death 460 years after the event with Pastor Jerry Gernander. Pastor St. Ange, it sounds callous to say, but it's quite true that last week, that day when those lives were taken so tragically and so criminally, was just another day in the fallen world. What is the answer to this kind of unimaginable evil that we routinely work in this world?
Well, I think the first part of the answer you just gave, which is recognizing that the world is evil, and that's something that we in the West have really downplayed. We see it in our hymnody. I did a devotion on Monday morning, and I wanted to go and sing the old hymn, "The World is Very Evil." And I noticed it's not in our new hymnal. It is, but we've changed the name to "The Clouds of Judgment Gather," which, while it sort of captures the same idea, has definitely softened the edges. And I think it does not downplay what happened in Connecticut at all for it to be a realization of the tremendous evil that's in the world. People in the rest of the world see it in a way that we in the United States, Canada, and the West have sort of downplayed. So, you know, as Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? If this is a moment where someone realizes that our hearts, all of our hearts, have deceived ourselves, then that's the first part of the solution. And the second part is in recognizing that we can't fix it. We can't fix our own hearts. No person can perform open heart surgery physically on themselves, and you can't do it spiritually either. We have a wonderful teacher here in our school who just had open heart surgery, and she didn't do it herself. She had trained professionals doing it for her. And in the case of our hearts, God's the trained professional. He has promised in the same prophet Jeremiah that he would replace our hearts and give us new hearts, that he himself would be the change that we need. I am not opposed to the idea that we need hope and we need change. Hope and change comes through the gospel. It comes through recognizing that God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to change things. First of all, by calling us to himself that we might become children of God, because that's not what we are by birth spiritually. And then secondly, once that happens and we realize, you know, Christ has redeemed us, our sins have been forgiven, we are now God's children, then the same spirit that gives us that faith begins the process of changing us. But that is God's work. And if we think that we can take that work and make it a human work, and that a government can do what, you know, what God says is really his job, then we've just fallen back into the trap of deceiving ourselves. Even the Lord, you know, gave us the example of trying to change things by law. "I will give you the law on stone tablets outside yourselves. Do this and you will live." And even Israel couldn't do it. And that's a sign to us, and I think any time one of these evil things happens in the world, it should be a sign pointing in the same direction, pointing to Christ, and realizing that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes people, and not government regulation or even regulation from God, because even those regulations couldn't save. Only Christ in our place can save us.
With only about 30 seconds here, you do say that the elimination of the religion of naturalistic materialism, evolution in it, for shorthand, from our schools won't prevent these kind of tragedies, but you say it might really help. With about 30 seconds, what do you mean?
Well, I think, you know, the wheat and the chaff grow in soil. They need soil to grow in. And I think if you provide a soil that makes it difficult for faith to grow and makes it very easy for non-faith to grow, then you're encouraging evil. It's not, you know, a one-to-one correlation, but I can't imagine it doesn't help. We have a rule in Christianity that the rule of praying is the rule of believing. What you teach is what you end up doing. And so if we keep teaching kids that life is purposeless, meaningless, there's no design, and there's no reason for anything, some child who ends up with a mental illness or is tipping in one direction That could be the difference between them deciding not to do something or saying, you know, really, what's standing in my way?
Pastor Charles St. Ange is associate pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, author of a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled The Connecticut Shooting in Satan's Court. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Charles, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.